Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the St. Louis Arch.
So grab your tram ticket.
And let's get civical.
Everybody,
welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I'm Arden Walentowski.
And do you want to tell them what you're doing right now?
It is approximately, what the hell time is it? It is 6:47 my time here in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
A.M., we should say.
I am in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I am currently under a blanket.
She is.
Because I am trying to record in the most echoey house I have ever been in. It's super cute. It's like covered in shiplap.
The most echoey of the wooded materials.
Yes, the most echoey of the laps for sure. And my only recourse was to record under a gigantic blanket, which we have been using for picnics. And thank God is like gigantic, because otherwise I don't know what I would do. And there's currently a cat crawling under my legs.
Excellent. So if you hear meowing, if you hear any sort of feline noises, you look like you're in the Blair Witch Project.
I know. I'm also just a disembodied head because it's a dark blanket. And so the only thing Lizzie can see is my head.
You're shrouded shadow. Yeah,
my Shroud of Turin, like reflection from my computer screen.
Look, you guys, we go above and beyond to make these episodes happen.
Yeah.
So you have to bear with us. But speaking of cats, I have a
Oh my God, legendary... did I give you the best lead-in or what?
You did. You gave me such a great lead-in because not last night, the most extraordinary thing happened to me. And not just to me, but to many people, because I was at a Yankees game yesterday, a home Yankees game. And it was just like, it was, when I say it was a boring game, I mean, it was a boring game. It was like the Yankees were playing really bad.
Ugh.
The other team was like fine and they were scoring. So it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So not much action. And then in, I think it was like at the bottom of the seventh inning, I'm just kind of like chilling and like watching the game. And then my boyfriend goes, there's a cat on the field. There's a cat on the field. And he starts freaking out. And sure enough, like right outside the dugout of the other team is a full cat. And it was just sitting there. And I just remember being like, where did he come from?
Yeah, how did he get there?
Because, you know, at baseball games, there is somebody at every entrance. It's not easy to get anywhere without having to, like, go by somebody who's like, who are you and is this your section?
Right.
And sure enough, this cat defied all laws and just, like, appeared on the field in front of the dugout. And at first, the players were kind of like... okay.
Right.
Like, maybe we'll keep playing.
Do we hold for cat?
Do we hold for cat? Nobody knew. And then the cat made a beeline for, like, center field. And at that point, the stadium freaks out. The players are like, we clearly cannot continue with this cat fully. I mean, and it was sprinting. To be fair, the cat was probably, like, absolutely terrified. Oh, yeah. Because it was, like, bolting across the field. And then it did this for, like, maybe a minute, and it would it ran to the back of the field. It like jumped up on like the ledge of the back of the field and sat there for like 15 seconds. And I'm the whole time, I'm just like, nobody's doing anything. The players are just
standing there
looking at this cat. And then finally they send out the poor grounds crew to go and try to wrangle this cat. There's like 8 of them, and immediately I'm like, they're not gonna catch this cat. This cat is way too quick. And sure enough, it's like another 3 or 4 minutes of like the grounds crew kind of like closing in on the cat, and then the cat bolting, and then the stadium erupting because we want the cat to not get caught. If this was the whole rest of the game, I would have.
Oh my god! Well, it's the clearly the most exciting thing that you guys had seen that day.
Literally in this year, it was like, when I say I lost my absolute mind, I mean, oh my God. I lost my absolute mind because it was just so surreal that it was happening and that it took them so long to like wrangle the cat. Everybody look at national television because I bet you they're replaying that moment. And I was there.
Does your Instagram feed also include like you screaming at about
Arden,
the cat?
When I say, yeah.
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Sound on for that.
I cannot wait to get off this Zoom with you and go watch that. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
It's like 10 times better than the bear video.
No. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's a full-ass bear.
It's a full-ass bear.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You see animals the way you react to seeing animals in... Well, the bear was in its natural habitat, but like...
To be fair, yeah. The cat on the field, I was like, wait. Because you think birds. Birds are kind of the thing you see. It's an open stadium. Yeah. You don't think a full-grown cat is going to just saunter onto the field. I loved it.
Where I just want to know how it got there. Who does he belong to? Is he somebody's pet? You.
No, I bet it's feral. I mean, it's Yankee Stadium. It's the Bronx. There's feral cats. You know,
there's feral cats everywhere. Oh my god, that's crazy. That's so funny. I love that story, and I can connect it. I can follow our through line of cat to connect us to our topic for today.
Heck yeah, bring us there.
So as I said, I am on a month-long road trip, and last week we were in St. Louis, and so we decided to go. There's like right now because of COVID, like unless you get tickets for like a week in advance, if you're trying to get them to go up in the arch for like the next day or two, they're not available, but you can go see like this apparently really great documentary film about the Gateway Arch that's like a half hour. So I bought tickets, which spoiler alert, today's episode is about the St. Louis Arch. So I got tickets for the movie, and I don't know if I thought it was just gonna be like when you walk into the base of the arch, or like I don't know what I thought, but like we were leaving that day right after the film to go to, I can't even remember. Where were we going? We were going someplace.
You've been
else.
To like 30 places.
Oh my God.
Six
I literally
days.
Can't. The days all blend. Oh, Kansas City. We were going to Kansas City. So I was like, okay, well, cause we're traveling. My girlfriend and I are traveling with the little cat. And so we were like, you know, we'll put him in his bag and he can just like, you know, we'll just go. And so we get in there, and I just didn't give it a second thought because he's in a bag. Like, I don't know. He's not going
to
get out of
the bag.
Oh my
God, you brought a cat to the St. Louis Arch.
We did.
God.
And by we, I mean me, because I did not think it through. And we get there and we're like, of course, and I like, it's a national monument. Like, I was just like, it was one of those moments where like, I'm generally a pretty smart person. I was a goddamn idiot. Like, I just like, what were you thinking? It's a national monument. It's federal
property. There's security, I assume.
There's security. But like, when I stopped by Lincoln's birthplace, it was also like a national park, federal property, like no security. There was nothing.
Yeah,
like,
but that's a log cabin. This is a full ass structure. I'd say the St. Louis Arch is more of a national monument in the sense of like the monuments we've covered before, as opposed to Lincoln's birthplace is like, all right, yeah, here's the outline of a cabin in the woods. And yes, Lincoln was born somewhere around here.
Oh my God. So exactly. So anyways, so we're like, we wait and we see this woman, she's carrying like a tiny little yappy dog, and the dog, to its credit, is not yapping, but it's like one of those tiny yappy dogs.
Yeah.
And she's like kissing it and holding it like it's not in a bag. And we like wait for security to tell her whether or not she's allowed to like take this dog up. And they let her through, whatever. And so we go up and we're trying to get through ourselves. And the guys are, there's like these three security guys. I mean, like, you would have thought that we brought like
weapons.
Yeah, you would have thought we were carrying weapons, because my girlfriend took the cat out of the bag to go through security. And so then the cat was like, what the fuck am I doing here? And we tried to carry him through. They were like, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, you can't come through. There's no cats up here. Anyway, so I ruined our trip to the movie by just assuming that a cat could go up into a federal monument. What the fuck was I thinking?
Insane.
Insane. I'm insane and stupid.
And then your cat booked a plane ticket to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Made its way onto Yankee Field. And that's where I saw him.
He would. He's
like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I didn't want to go to the Arch anyway. I'm going to a baseball game. Yeah. So silly.
I love it. Cats are the theme today.
Cats are the theme today. But also just like selfishly, I was like, I want to talk about the Gateway Arch because it was super cool. Have you ever been?
Sure. No, I've never been to St. Louis.
Oh, it was so cool. And honestly, like a super cool city. Highly recommend if you're going to do like a day or two trip. But I was like, I want to talk about the Arch because it was, even just like seeing the outside of it, was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is my selfish episode to talk about something
Hell
I saw
yeah.
on my trip.
And you deserve it because you're in a bunker right now.
I am in a bunker.
Making episodes happen.
My disembodied face is just.
I love it. I love
what it. Lizzie has to look at. Should I do the Saoirse Ronan sources?
Absolutely. Tell me what we are sourcing from today.
Okay. So the Architectural Digest.
Love.
History.com.
Of course.
Smithsonian.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. They had some good information about like why the arch was built. And then just like the website for the Gateway Arch herself.
I love it. Straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start off where you know I love to start off, which is the basics. So these notes are coming from the Gateway Arch and History.com. Completed in October 1965, the Gateway Arch cost less than $15 million to build. Okay, bargain. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple. I can't imagine. Like, where are you going to spend the money? It's like the same material, you know?
Right. It's basically metal and glass.
The foundations extend 60 feet into the ground, and in its entirety, the arch weighs 43,226 tons, including 900 tons of stainless steel.
Yeah, bitch.
I mean, yeah, she's heavy.
She's heavy.
She's heavy. She's a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
Built to withstand earthquakes and high winds, the monument was designed to sway up to 18 inches. Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. I do not accept that we have normalized swaying structures. I do not accept this.
I would hope that if it was that windy, they would be like, no humans, no cats,
right.
No dogs
right.
are going up at this moment.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I don't think that if it's moving, they're sending anybody up. That seems very dangerous.
Seriously. Take your life in your hands.
It has swayed 1.5 inches when subjected to 50 mile an hour winds. Yeah. Okay, so it's, and it can sway up to 18. What is it like? What is it like, bounce back and forth? Like, boing, boing. That's a lot.
That's a lot. How would you, I mean, that's like, that's beyond wind because.
That's like, yeah, we're getting into hurricane level.
That's hurricane or like something really bad has happened.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe a force not from nature.
I love that.
Yeah.
The Gateway Arch is 630 feet high, making it the tallest monument in the United States. And it is as wide as it is tall. She's huge.
She's really big. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
The budget came in at $13.4 million, employing a few hundred workers with amazingly no loss of life.
Yeah.
I feel like we saw this with Mount Rushmore, too, where they were like, no one died.
Nobody died. Crazy. They also didn't, there were no harnesses used.
Right. Ooh.
Crazy.
Ooh. No, thank you. In 1965. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
An internal tram system takes visitors to the top where on a clear day, they can see up to 30 miles across the winding Mississippi and to the Great Plains to the west.
Yes.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Early visitors weren't able to enjoy the amazing views from the top as the 2 million tram system wasn't completed until 1967. Today, up to 6,700 visitors per day take the 4-minute tram ride to the top. 4 minutes? Mm-hmm. We can't get them to there quicker?
It's a weird, so obviously we didn't go up, but like it's a, somebody was describing to us that it's like a, it's a weird, because it's an arch, it's not like a elevator. It's like a weird mm-hmm. pod type thing.
Mm.
And then there's like these little windows. And you can see them if you look at the top of the arch. You can see them. They're like little, like almost like submarine windows, but like oval, you know? Because I don't know that it's that big. And it's not like you couldn't have like a regular elevator. It's like a little pod thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
In addition to the Gateway Arch, the Jefferson Expansion Memorial includes the Museum of Westward Expansion and the Old Courthouse of St. Louis, where two of the famous Dred Scott slavery cases were heard in the 1860s. So it's in this hub of herstory.
Yeah.
Also, I would love to go to the Museum of Westward Expansion. Just manifest the destiny for me. What a great time.
Yeah.
We were just like, keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. What else is out there? See what we hit.
Keep walking west.
Just keep going west.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah. So let's talk about building the arch.
Let's.
Mm-hmm. The Gateway Arch was designed by Finnish-born American-educated architect Eero Saarinen. His first name is E-E-R-O, and his last name is S-A-A-R-I-N-E-N.
Very Finnish.
Mm-hmm. Very Finnish.
Speaking of Finland, we're currently charting in Finland, so shout out to our Finnish folks. This is not a good moment for us as far as celebrating
very
you
sorry.
Because we don't know how to pronounce this name.
I'm very sorry.
We love you so much.
You can yell at us on the social media this time because I'm very sorry about that pronunciation. And it was erected, the arch was erected to commemorate President Thomas Jefferson's Louisiana Purchase of 1803 and to celebrate St. Louis's role in the rapid westward expansion that followed.
I think having the St. Louis Arch is obviously amazing, and I'm glad that we do have it. But I do think that they were grasping at straws on what to make a monument for. They're like, oh, we want to put something here, but like what? Ugh, what are we going to celebrate? Oh, I know. Do you remember the Louisiana Purchase?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
From approximately like 147.
100, 200 years ago?
Yeah.
Let's do it about that. Everybody mm-hmm. loves Louisiana Purchase. They'll get it. It'll be an arch.
It was a great
you know?
Purchase. It was a great purchase.
Great purchase.
So as the market and supply point for fur traders and explorers, including the famous Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, The town of St. Louis grew exponentially after the War of 1812, when great numbers of people began to travel by wagon to seek their fortunes west of the Mississippi.
I mean, I just feel like the episode on Lewis and Clark that we are going to do in the future, hold on to your hats. We have no current plans, but
I feel like
I'm ready.
I started that episode research at one point, and then we swapped it out for something else because, like, there was a holiday.
I'm sure something happened that was, like, relevant.
And we were like, ugh. Yeah, yeah. So we definitely have to do that episode.
Yeah.
In 1947, 1948, Saarinen? We're just going to say Saarinen. And if it's not right, please tell us how to say it on social media. Saarinen won a nationwide competition to design a monument honoring the spirit of the Western pioneers. In a sad twist of fate, the architect died of a brain tumor in 1961 and did not live to see the construction of his now famous arch, which began in February of 1963.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know.
Poor Saarinen.
I know. According to the competition's call for submissions, the new monument was to serve as, quote, a living memory to Jefferson's vision of greater opportunities for men of all races and creeds.
I don't know about that. I think somebody's stretching the truth here a little bit. I don't. And maybe it's Jefferson himself, but I don't think that was his whatchamacallit slogan.
No, that was not the tattoo he had on his body.
No.
Speaking of his design, Saarinen said, quote, the arch symbolized the gateway to the West, the national expansion, and whatnot, close quote.
You know, the gateway to the West, national expansion, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying. You feel me, right?
I'm sure that he gave a very eloquent answer to this question in, like, a different interview.
But
for some reason, they pulled the one where he said, and whatnot. Like, you know, the who's and what's is, like, everybody's going west. Here's an arch to celebrate that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Saarinen's design was chosen from 172 submissions, which included animal sculptures, a statue of the signing of the Louisiana Purchase, and Eero's father's own entry depicting a tall rectangular stone gate. So,
rectangles are so 1770.
They're so retro.
We're all about arches now.
Mm-hmm. Eero based his design on the catenary curve, or the shape made by a free-hanging chain when held at both ends.
Which begs the question, like, why?
I don't know. Like, you would think there would be some kind of symbolism there, like...
Yeah.
Who was in chains, and the chains are now free.
Who is in chains, and who's breaking... I mean, this is about westward expansion.
Right. There's no, like, freeing of anything. There's no chains. And the chain is then upside down, right? Because...
Sure.
Yeah, because gravity would not allow a chain to be held up in the air like that.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Look,
Thank you.
We're not the architectural geniuses. We're just trying to understand.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
All right, so let's talk about the why. Why did we build the structure? I think I've already alluded to it before. I'm like, the Louisiana Purchase seems like a weak thing to be like, let's build the biggest monument in the entire United States to Seriously. The Louisiana Purchase.
Grasping
but let's figure out why. So in 1934, local business leaders promoted the idea of a memorial to Thomas Jefferson and the expansionary vision of his Louisiana Purchase. But their real aim, according to Tracy Campbell, who's the author of The Gateway Arch, a biography, was to rid the city's waterfront of, quote, blighted, end quote, property, and bring in federal construction dollars. This is what I was smelling. I was like, something does not smell like it is above board.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want federal dollars to come in and basically redo their city. So they're like, what can we grasp at? What can we grasp at? Oh my God. Dear federal government, wouldn't it be amazing if we honored Thomas Jefferson and his, whatchamacallit, expansionary vision of the Louisiana Purchase? And the lawmakers are like, I guess. Yeah. Sure. Because it's like Thomas Jefferson and like, oh my God, Louisiana Purchase, obviously big deal.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, sure, sure. And the business owners are like, yes, free dollars. Mm-hmm. Yes. Love it.
Free money. Yeah.
Following a rigged bond measure to cover the city's costs, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch counted 46,000 phony ballots, more than enough to tilt the outcome, and denounce the project as election thievery. 40 square blocks of Riverside property were bulldozed, including 290 businesses, mainly small factories and historic cast iron buildings employing some 5,000 workers. So I love it. There's corruption. Yeah. Yeah. There's a capital C corruption.
Corruption, where they destruction. Were like, yeah.
We want this arch because we want them to come and clean up this area of town that we find to be unsavory. So we're going to stuff the ballot boxes.
And then just destroy everything and put 5,000 people out of work. Because I can tell you, it did not take 5,000 people to build this arch.
To be fair, this is the most American thing I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I'm loving it. FDR's Interior Secretary, Harold Ikes, nearly blocked the venture as, quote, speculative real estate, end quote,
mm-hmm.
until the war disrupted civilian public works projects. Ugh. Of course, the war comes in and changes our perspective on everything.
Yeah.
But after the war, President Harry Truman, from Missouri, let the money flow. Still, the site lay an empty squalor for a decade, and then came President Dwight Eisenhower's mm-hmm. interstate system of highways, a stretch of which passed along the site, reviving the arch's appeal as an outsized attraction for the vast stream of Americans vacationing in their cars.
And I have to say that that view pulling into St. Louis when you see the arch is like, oh, it's really good. It is. Yeah. I mean, they were correct.
They were correct. They were correct. They're like, oh my God. Quite an amazing view. You are the civilians mm-hmm. vacationing in cars.
Yeah.
You're the target audience.
We were the target audience, and we were happily surprised by pulling into St. Louis and seeing the arch. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Because we also drove in at night. Okay. So highly recommend. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty no matter what time you drive in, but we drove in at night and it was like just enough sun to like get some good photos. And like with the arch and this, it was beautiful.
Ooh, sure.
So let's talk about visiting the arch.
Don't bring your cat.
Don't bring cats. They do not allow them. In the summer, it's open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Winter, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The park grounds are open from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. year-round. And like I said, there's various things to do. You can do the tram ride all the way to the top. There's the movie. And then like just outside, like, because the arch is next to the river, if you go down the stairs to the side of the arch that doesn't go to downtown, there's like, that's where the river is, and there's a boat, and you can take a St. Louis Riverfront cruise, which
ugh.
I have heard is really fun.
Cute.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like various price tickets, like, and it's pretty, I feel like it's pretty inexpensive for like, well, I mean, like you can do all of those things, the tram ride, the movie, and the cruise for $35. And I feel like that's a really good deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
It's a good deal. In a typical year, the viewing area at the top of the Gateway Arch can accommodate up to 160 people at a time. Of course, due to COVID, the capacity at the top has been significantly reduced, which is probably why it's hard to get tickets. The 4-minute tram ride takes you to the viewing platform, where 16 windows look out onto downtown St. Louis, the Mississippi River, and Illinois.
Aw.
This is from the Gateway Arch, and this is them talking about like COVID protocols. To help facilitate social distancing, guests will be limited to under 10 minutes at the top of the arch. There are no restroom or dining facilities at the top of the Gateway Arch. So if you have to poo,
you simply have to do it before you go get up. On the tram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you can't do it on top.
Mm-mm.
Which makes sense. Where would it go? Where would it go?
It's not structurally sound for that. It's already swaying back and forth.
It's already swaying 18 inches.
We're not putting a toilet in there.
No. Could you imagine swaying 18 inches on a toilet? I would just
drown myself. Like, this is, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it.
Oh my God. Circle.
Okay, you guys, let's talk about my favorite thing in the world. It's time for fun facts, fun facts, fun facts, fun facts, fun facts. And these are all coming from Architectural Digest. So the arch's two legs were built separately, and if their measurements were off by as little as 1/64th of an inch, they would not have been able to join at the top. The stainless steel pieces of the arch were shipped in via train from Pennsylvania and had to be assembled on site. Welders had to work extraordinarily carefully to ensure their measurements were precise. The margin of error allowed was less than 0.5 millimeter. Though the construction workers were sure of their product, many people speculated that the arch would fall when the last piece at the top of the arch was set in place to join the legs. It didn't, of course.
It didn't,
so
of course.
So I'm kind of like with everybody else who's like, this is going to fall.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I understand that there's engineering and I understand that, like, there are Isaac Newton laws at play to keep it from not falling, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it's not having anything below me.
I know. It's a funny thing to do it to, like, and also you're just like, I mean, if they didn't use harnesses, how are they doing this? Like,
how are they doing this?
Built them separately.
Also, it's like,
how do
they're
you
doing this all by pen and paper.
Gigantic legs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No calculators. So, it's like, give me a pencil. Let me do equations to, like, let me get a ruler and measure out exactly how long this has to be in order to not fall and kill everybody.
Right. Oh my God. Jesus.
Next fun fact. Not so fun, but kind of fun. The insurance company for the project predicted that 13 workers would die during construction. I feel like if you have a death count, like if you have an estimated death count, don't do the project. Don't do the project.
Yeah. That's really funny. I mean, sad.
With a difficult construction process that saw people working hundreds of feet in the air with no safety nets, it is not too much of a surprise that the insurers expected there to be fatalities. But somehow, no one died during construction. The only death associated with the Gateway Arch was that of Kenneth Sewers, who in 1980 leapt from a plane, parachuted to the top of the arch and attempted to base jump to the ground. His auxiliary parachute didn't deploy and he fell to his death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't blame the arch for that.
No.
That's not her fault.
No.
That's parachute problem.
The arch did what the arch was supposed to do, which was serve as a landing surface.
He landed. Everything
individual.
Stayed in place.
And the
then
arch
his
was there.
Second parachute didn't mm-hmm. deploy.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Ugh.
Not no, the arch's you. Fault.
Mm-mm.
Continuing with our fun facts, there was confusion over whether the elder or the younger Saarinen won the design competition for the monument. Both father and son entered the competition, and even though Eero was chosen as the winner, confused officials mistakenly told his father that he had won. The architects and their family had already had a champagne celebration to toast the senior Saarinen when a telegram came in to correct the error.
I mean, at least I could still use the champagne.
That's right.
You know,
you
it's
know
like,
what
it's,
all
it would
means?
Be different if it was like somebody completely different.
Completely different. All that means is that, like, you do another round of champagne toast.
Yeah. It's like, all right, sorry, dad, but right. Congratulations, brother. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's all.
That's it.
I think Lizzie said this before, but the arch is as tall as it is wide. Though it might not look like it, the arch is 630 feet tall and 630 feet wide. Since you're not always looking at the arch straight on, you experience an illusion that it's much taller than it is wide.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is full of, like, optical illusions
yeah,
and all
yeah.
sorts of things.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love this. The unique tram system was invented by a man with no formal engineering training.
Absolutely not.
Lizzie's never going in the tram.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You're like, I will take my pictures from the ground.
I will literally, you will not catch me in the St. Louis Arch with this nonsense.
No. Thanks to the curved shape of the arch, a regular elevator couldn't bring visitors from the base to the top. Saarinen's firm called the Montgomery Elevator Company in Moline, Illinois to solve the problem. Dick Bowser, a college dropout whose family was in the elevator business, happened to visit a friend who worked at the company, and that friend connected him with the architect.
Oh my God. It's all about who do you know who knows.
Who do you know? You know? It's all about networking.
Who are your connections? The elevator world is small. I love it.
It's so funny. Bowser was asked to design the system in just 2 weeks. Okay. Like, talking about the safety of humans, but fine. His solution was a tram that was part elevator and part Ferris wheel. And it's the very system that lifts visitors to the top of the arch today. My only hope is that in the intervening years, they have had a college-educated engineering person come in and be like, yes, this is structurally sound. Yes, this will not misfunction.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite fun fact, and you're gonna lose okay. your shit. Presidents are not allowed to go to the top.
If it's not safe enough for the president of the United States, it is not safe enough for me.
They're not allowed, with the exception of President Eisenhower.
Well, sure, he's the first.
He was the first. He like greenlit it and did all the stuff to get it done. The Secret Service has forbidden all presidents from ascending the Gateway Arch due to security concerns. It is, after all, a very tight, enclosed space. The only exception was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who signed the order for the construction of the arch in 1954. In 1967, when he was 77 years old, the former president visited St. Louis to give a speech. A trip to the top was not in his itinerary, but when he showed up early to the monument... After it had closed to the public, he insisted on riding the tram up. I love that.
So I'm like, I'm confused.
The old man is like, but I, this is my doing. I want to.
But this
up
is my monument. I'm my monument. To
I want to do it.
I mean, yeah. I'm like, I feel like the Secret Service knows more than we do because I'm like, yeah, shut it down to all other visitors,
right?
And let the president go up. You know. I'm like, what isn't safe about it?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Like, mm-hmm. To me, it does make sense. Like, there's no easy way out. Like, how would you get somebody out if there
right,
was
but
a...
like,
yeah, but that makes that is a valid question.
Yeah. There's no easy way out of Air Force One, and yet we're fine.
True. The arch's recent renovation is more than twice as expensive as the original cost to build it. When the arch was built.
Yeah.
When the arch was built in the early 60s, it cost $13 million, more than $100 million today when adjusted for inflation. The arch's recent renovation cost $380 million, but that money was also used to renovate the park, expand the museum, they added a cafe, and they raised the riverbank to prevent flooding. So it wasn't just spent on the arch. And like right. any work you're going to do to like raise land and prevent flooding is super expensive.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine with me. Expensive. We definitely don't want flooding. I already don't trust this arch. I bet it's gorgeous.
I wasn't told. So all of that renovation was completed in 2018. But like we were told that it can sway up to 18 inches. We weren't told that it could withstand flooding.
I know. Nobody. I feel like they're drip feeding us the important mm-hmm. information.
Mm-hmm. They're like, this
is
really...
Which is this structurally sound?
Exactly.
I'm sure it is.
We've got,
but I don't.
It's tall.
Visually,
we've got
it's
wind.
Not,
there's flood. There's flood possibilities.
All the elements.
There, it's a tight enclosed space. She
Next,
sways.
You're
going to
tell me it's like, can be melted by fire, you know? Like, that's what I'm expecting to come up next.
Oh my God.
I love it.
But you guys, that's the St. Louis Arch, which I selfishly suggested that we do because I just saw it.
No, I think it's a great, because, you know,
so
obviously
fun.
I'm not from, you know, the middle of America and don't have, I think, the emotional ties to it, but like everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. Like, I think it's super interesting. It's history. And I think that while everybody knows what it is, 1% would know that it's a monument to the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah, I had no idea. Like,
yeah, neither did I. So I love learning something new. We love when we have a monument.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for suggesting this episode.
My pleasure.
And to our sweet, sweet listeners, as always, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us, you can review us, you can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.